Okay, so today we're up to Hoshea Perek Beis Pasuk Ches, page 24. Again, Hoshea Perek Beis Pasuk Ches. Lochein Hil Nisach Estarkech Basirim. Hashem criticizes Klal Yisrael to Hoshea, and he says, as a punishment for previous pasuk told us after wanting to abandon Hashem and to pursue your lovers, Elcha Acharei Mahavai Nosne Lachmi, and your desire to chase after those who give you bread, water, wool, linen, oil, Vishikuyoi, which simply means wine. And we learned yesterday this refers to Klal Yisrael there, how they have abandoned, they've gone astray from Hashem. They've turned to Avodah Zarah. They've turned to the worship or the belief in the worship of the stars, the moon, the constellations, whether that means Avodah Zarah Mamish or it means Teva. They feel that their fate depends upon Mazel, does not depend upon Hashkocha Pratis. So Hashem here in Pasuk Ches responds, because you've been so foolish to abandon me and to pursue false ideologies, false beliefs of the Zara, Lachain, therefore Hinni Soch Estarkech Basirim, I will soch. What a soch mean? It's a hard word to translate. Fence in. The Mitsudo Sinos Hirashi as well means soch inyin goder. Kemo Hoser Misu Hoser, remove your fence in Yeshaya. I will fence you in Basirim. I will surround you. Well, that's the question. It's the derech. Your path will be fenced, and you're not going to be able to escape with thorns. It's not really clear what this means. We'll read this in a few moments. The Mincha Gedoyla. He has a very beautiful interpretation of what this means. But in the meantime, let's just pause here. I'm going to fence in your way, your road with thorns. The thorns are going to prevent you from escaping. The Godartias Gideira. I will put up a fence, I will build its fence, and thus you will not be able to find its paths. Let's do another pasuk. Pasuk tes, veritfa es mehaveha, and you will continue to pursue your lovers, velo sasiga sam, you will not overtake them, uvik shosam, you will seek them out, velo simsa, and you will not find them, v'amra elcha v'yashuva, then you will finally come to the realization of foolish you have been, and you will say, elcha go v'yashuva elishi harishayin, let me return to my husband, my first husband, who refers to Hashem. It was better for me then than it is now. I remember the glorious good old days when we had a close relationship with Hashem. He took care of us. He was good to us. It's much better this life than the life I find for myself now. Now, before we really go into the Mepharshim, just the Pshudishol Mikra, the Pasuk here is teaching something very, very profound. And that is the punishment for not following in Hashem's ways is Hashem's going to help you pretty much continue to go down the path of evil. Person, you have a choice. You come to the crossroads. So you can go on the Derech Hashem, there's a crossroads, the Derech Hashem, or you can go on the Derech Avodah Zarah. And the person does an Aver, and he chooses to go on the Derech of Avodah Zarah. So the punishment is, how does Hashem punish the person? The punishment is that Hashem blocks the road that you can't get back to the Derech Hashem. You have abandoned me. You abandoned Hashem and you want to go down the wrong path. Do you know what the punishment will be? I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna force you. I'm gonna assist you to continue going down this wrong path. And the further you go down the path, the more you realize, the more you see what a fool I have been. How foolish I was in making this mistake. It's a very unique type of punishment. You would think that if a person makes a mistake, so what do? You take him off the bad road. Person makes a mistake and he goes on the wrong road. So you send in a rescue team and you extract him from the wrong location and then you put him in prison and you punish him and you beat him up. You fine him. You do all different types of punishment, but the first thing you would expect to do is when a person goes down the wrong path is to first extract him from his predicament where he is. No, Hashem says, you know what the punishment is? Keep on going. Keep on going. Under normal circumstances, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to guide us and to influence us to return to Hashem. Siyata Deshmaya, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He wants us to be good, He wants us to become close to Him, He will do things in order that we should turn to Hashem. But when a person deliberately shows Hashem, I have no interest in you, the punishment is, you have no interest in me, I'll punish you by making sure you get a full dosage of what you tried to seek in the very beginning.
And sometimes you don't repent until you reach the bottom of the barrel, when you reach the bottom.
Correct. You don't repent until you come and you hit bottom, right? That what's it called? Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the principle. Is that's the silver lining reaching the bottom. The silver lining reaching the bottom is there's nowhere to go but to go up. Okay, but here it's saying over here you have not even reached that point yet. You're somewhere still in the middle.
Hashem is helping you reach that point.
Right. That's the punishment. That's a very deep idea. Hashem's going to help me do an avera. Hashem doesn't want me to do an averus. Hashem doesn't make a difference to Hashem if you do an aver, do a mitzvah. Hashem doesn't need that. Doesn't it's all for your benefit, our benefit. Hashem gives us opportunities to do mitzvahs, and He gives us reward for not doing averos. As a person deliberately rebels against Hashem and wants to do an averus, Hashem says, "Okay, you want to do an averus? I'll give you another avera, and with each avera, it eats us up alive. The avera itself, we come to realize, is so horrible. That itself is the greatest pain, the greatest form of punishment. There's a Chassidus of art. Schar mitzvah mitzvah. Schar avera avera. It says in Pirkei Avos. So what does it mean simply? The reward for doing a mitzvah is an opportunity to do another mitzvah. The reward for doing an avera, the punishment for doing an avera is Hashem, I don't know, Hashem, one mitzvah leads to another mitzvah, one avera leads to another avera. The slippery slope, a person starts out doing a little avera, and then, I got away with it, let me do a bigger avera, another avera, before you turn around, you find yourself in a place you never imagined you would be. That is the pshuto shel mikra of the Mishnah. But the Chassidus of art is, schar mitzvah, what is the ultimate reward in the next world for doing a mitzvah? It's mitzvah, meaning the realization, the satisfaction that I did a mitzvah. When a person does a mitzvah, you feel good. I did something, I did a mitzvah, no one knows about it. It was 100% l'shem shemayim. It makes you feel good. Schar mitzvah, the reward for doing the mitzvah is mitzvah. The fact that I recognize, I feel good that I have done a mitzvah. What is the punishment for doing an avera? The schar avera is the pain, the remorse, the I feel like a piece of garbage avera that I have done an avera. That fire that burns within me of nothingness. What am I worth that I have done an avera? That itself is the punishment for doing an avera. Yeah.
Some express it as at some point Hashem removes the defenses against that would normally a person have a certain amount of shmira from doing.
The siyata d'shmai that Hashem protects you.
You want it? That's what you want to do. Lower the barriers, and you're on your own.
You're on your own. Exactly. Hashem's not going to assist in taking away the distractions. We've said so many times that the Chazon Ish, he holds that the Ikar Tefillah that parents should pray for their children is not so much the children should be great. The children will be whatever they'll be. The Ikar Tefillah parents should pray for their children is that Hashem should take away from their children the distractions in life that would prevent them and mislead them and deny them the ability to develop into what they naturally are meant to be. Distractions. So Ramchal is saying that if a person chooses to rebel against Hashem, Hashem will not assist in, will not grant siyat d'shmaya in removing the distractions. And every time he tries, whatever he does, you don't care about Hashem, you do averus. So I'll make it very easy for you to be distracted and do an averus, do the wrong thing. Let's see the Mitzudos David, these two psukim, pasuk ches and pasuk tes. The Mitzudos David back on page 25. Because choshva egdar derech mahalochcha bekaitzim. Because I know the word choshva, thought. Hoil v'chein sorry, I'm sorry, sorry, sorry. It goes back on the previous pasuk. Since in the previous pasuk, which we learned yesterday, pasuk Zayin, the Jewish people, they have thought to themselves, I want to pursue my lovers. I want to pursue Avodah Zarah because you had such thoughts. Therefore, I will punish you. How? Egdar derech maha lachecha. I will fence your path b'koitzim with thorns. Lebal tucha lelech espa ritzon eloyma. What does this mean? Loi taskil lehoirid elecha hashpa'a. You will not be able to remove from upon you mima'areches hashamayim ki ilu nistam haderech. You're not going to be able to. So he's saying something, not what I told you. What I told you is really what it says in the Mincha Gedoyla. But he's saying something very simple, is that I'm not going to allow you to succeed. I'm not going to allow you, that being that you are trying, you are pursuing the Mereches HaShemayim, the Mazolos, the Shemesh Bireach, Avodah Zarah, and you believe that that is where you will derive benefit, I will prevent the benefit from coming to you in that approach. In other words, not like I told you, the thorns that Hashem is fencing on the road is the road which you are on. You are following a road that you believe will bring you success. I will deny you that success. That's all it means. You've abandoned me, you've taken the wrong exit, and you're going down this road, and you think this road is going to bring you success. Guess what? That success will not come to you. That road will come to a dead end. It will be fenced, it will be full with impediments, thorns, which will prevent you from succeeding. Look at the words one more time, it's because it's a little cryptic. Since this you thought you have plans to abandon me, egdar derech maha lochecha, I will fence up the road which you now are traveling. Bekoitzim, how will I fence it? With putting thorns on the road to prevent you from walking, continuing to walk. Lebal tuchal lelechespa, you no longer will be able to continue on this path. What does this mean in more detail? Return to Leimar.
Roadblocks?
Yeah, whatever, roadblocks just means the roads are not passable. Lotaskil, you will not be successful. You will not be successful. Lehoirid elecha, to bring down upon yourselves the hashpa'ah, the blessing, mima'areches hashamayim, from the arrangements of the stars, meaning from the mazolos. You think that you're going to succeed by following after the constellations and the sun and the moon and worshipping these things. I'm going to prevent the constellations, the shamayim v'aretz, from bringing you blessing, and you will be smitten. Ki ilu as if nistam haderech. Okay, next pasuk. We'll see Rashi in Parshim. We'll see Rashi next pasuk test. In the next page 26 on the bottom on the right side, the Godarti, and I will fence in. Kofal hadavar the mila shaynais. Over here, so the pasuk repeats itself a second time. It's just poetic repetition. Okay, unisivaser lo simsa, you will not find a path lo simsa shvil v'tachbula loharid lecha hashpa. You're not going to find a path or any type of a sieve is a small path. A derech is like an interstate highway.
Right.
A nesiv is a side street. Derech HaMelech. A nesiv is just like a small path. So when you see, when you're on the highway, you're on the BQE, and you see that it's gridlock, so what do? Waze tells you, get off at the next exit, and we're going to go through the side streets. If you stay on the highway, you'll be here forever. So better go on the side street to stop at every red light. You'll get home a lot faster. Those are the nesivas. So when the person over here, he took a wrong turn. He went on the wrong highway. He had the highway to Hashem, and he chose to go on the highway to Avodah Zarah, the highway of Koichiv Yotzim Yadi. And then when he's on this highway, Hashem says, so how you think you're going to succeed? Koichiv Yotzim Yadi, you're going nowhere. I'm going to put a roadblock. I'm going to put on the road thorns, and then you're going to come to a gridlock. So what are you going to do next? No, if the main highway is no good, so let me continue to reach my destination of Koichiv Yotzim Yadi through the side streets. Guess what? The side streets will be blocked. You won't be able to even succeed in any type of trickery, any type of legal loophole, in order to succeed, because you cannot outsmart Hashem. Pasuk test v'ritva af shetiye roidefes achar ma'arechas hashamayim lahaktir lohem. Even though you pursue the arrangements of heaven to offer to them a ketores of a karbonos imkol zilo sasiko sabli hashpil lochatoyva, you will not succeed if you are not in Hashem's camp. you will not succeed in being successful. Uvi uvik shosam, and then finally you'll come to the recognition that you're not. The amra, and then at the very end you'll say, "Oz toimar eftach ba kodesh baruch." You'll then come to the realization that the only success in this world comes through faith in Hashem. Ki me'oz keshahoya bitchayni bo hoya li toiv me'ota. When I had faith in Hashem and everything was good, you'll come to recognize that it was better in the good old days. Rashi, Kasechas and Tes, pass it back on page 24. Hilani soch. What do these two words, these letters mean? Soch, l'shon sigira, to be fenced in. Kimo, the mitsudo sion quarter of the same pasuk. Kimo chaser misukaso. I will remove a command, remove your fence. Kim, your hedge. Kim suchas chodek, like a chodek is what, like a ridge? What is, how is it translated? What chodek?
As though hedged by thorns.
Hedged. A chodek is also a thorn. A chodek is also a thorn. Hedged by thorns. A fence of thorns. Estar keich. Drachim u'shvilim sha'at halechas bochem acharei me'ahavayich mitzrayim v'yashur v'lo suchli levakesh mehem ezra. So let's two things. Two important things. Rashi here is saying the same thing as the mitzudos David. And that is, the person here is on, they're on the wrong path. Hashem says, I'm not going to let you continue down this path. This path that you think will lead to success will be closed, will be fenced in. The path that Hashem is putting the thorns on is the path in the direction that you are heading. You're heading in that direction, you'll never get to your destination. You will not, in other words, you'll not succeed. What does this refer to? So Rashi is in some history. Hosea is talking during the time of Melech, a time of Sancheriv, which is this Melech Ashur. Ashur and Mitzrayim will not be bring you success. These are the two nations that Klai always look to for success. They always look to bribe. They always look to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim should come defend them. Make alliances. Do not think that your power, that your success, your defense, your existence will come through other nations. The only way you will remain, you will survive, is by having faith in Hashem, not by having faith in Mitzrayim, and not by having faith in the nation of Ashur. You will not be able to seek their success.
Their help.
When they were always under attack, Klai Yisrael, you have to go through the whole Sefer Melachim, all the various battles. They were under attack by the Aram. Aram was a major, major player, major enemy in that time. And who did Klai Yisrael, they needed assistance from Ashur to fend off their enemies in Aram. And other nations as well, the Plishtim, they always were looking to go and have favor with the major world, the superpowers, in order to survive. Hashem says it's not going to work. You must put your primary faith in Hashem. Ein lanu lihishayin ella alavinu sheva shemayim. Of course, you can do your hashtadlus, but it has to be. You have to know in your mind where the success comes from. Pasuk tes v'ritva mimishkilois lashon kaved huzeh. The word v'ritva mimishkilois means the form, the grammatical form. There is lashon kaved. It means it's a thick, it's a heavy. Sometimes it's light. There's a lack of emphasis, and sometimes there is a thickness kaved huzeh kmo. Umiradef reikim, you'll pursue enemies. Reik, empty people. Okay, there's a word. What does it mean over there? You have over there that word, that French word? Yeah. Rashi?
Por castier or por suivre. Suive means to follow.
Follow.
So Kolomar pursue.
Tichazer, tachzor, or nusach acher, tichazer achareihem, v'lo tasigim, you'll pursue them. You will ritva means you will pursue and you will, but you will not succeed. Uvik shosam, uvik sho is some same idea. You will seek them. Okay, over here on the side he has over here some grammar rules. Sif sech zekenim. We're not going to do that now. Let's jump to the mincha gedoyla. Okay, mincha gedoyla back on page 25. He has a very nice different approach to understand these two psukim. The Mincha Gedoyla, Pasuk Ches says, okay, you see, page 25, Mincha Gedoyla, Lochein, therefore, Hirni Soch Es Tarkech, Mareinu Harav, Rabbi Moshe Al Shech Zal, he says the following, Hine Amu Zal, Chazal Sel, Pasuk, Re'ei, Nosat Lefanecha Hayoim, Esachayim V'yesamoves, Uvacharta Bachayim, there are two paths in life, There is the derech of Chaim and the derech of Maves. And Hashem says, I'm telling you which path to take. I'm telling you which exit. Hashem is the ultimate ways, the ultimate Google Maps. He's telling you exactly where to go. V'charta v'chayim. Amru, Moshe, l'shnei drachim. There are two paths. Echad is the alshach. Echad drachav yechav mishar b'tchilasai. One path is beautiful. It's very wide. It's very wide. And it's level. B'tchilasai. But for soifai, if you go down the map, you'll take note. She'enai nireh p'chos. She'enai nireh p'chosim u'mich shaylois v'sirim. And the end comes. It's she'enai nira. You don't see.
Does it mean that there are unforeseen?
Unforeseen. Pichasim means pits. Umich shaylois, obstacles. Visirim, thorns. It's not noticeable to the naked eye. At this moment in time, when you go on, you start on this path. Wow, what a beautiful road! It's paved. It's open. It's wide. There's no speed limit. There's no traffic. But little do you know that when you travel down this road for a couple of miles or for a couple of hours, boy, you're in for a surprise. You're going to come into a place of the worst possible road, the worst possible existence you can imagine. The Derech Sheni, but if you go on the other exit, it starts out tsar, it's very narrow. Umolei michshalois, and it's filled with booby traps, filled with obstacles. Oh, maha muros batechila. I don't know what that word means. Obviously, means some type of obstacle. But v'soifai. But when you travel down the path, it's rochav yashar molei kol tov. The end of the path is very, very good. V'haroya lamari einav yivchar harishon. Any person, you have a choice. You have two paths to go on. What would you select? You would select the road that is clear. Right, you have in front of you two roads. One is narrow, one is wide. Of course, you would go on the wide road. Kach yesh, but yet, but what is Hashem telling you? What is Hashem telling you in life? Hashem is telling you life. Trust me, trust me. I know it's difficult to believe me, but don't go down the wide, paved road, because that road will lead you in, may take you to trouble. And that is in this world. It seems easy. It seems easy. It's so easy to be nichshol in averos. To do averos, to be like everyone else, just forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just follow the herd. Hashem says, even though it seems so easy right now, you should know that the end of this path is korban. On the other hand, if you go take the narrow road, the difficult road in life, which means to be oimed in the nisyonos of life, to be honest, to have integrity, to be moral, even though you will be from yechidim, from one in a million, a person that's willing to be honest and full of integrity, trust me, the end of this road is blessing. So therefore, kach yesh shnei derachim, lifnei, turn to the next page on page 27, lifnei ha'adam, echad hi moshech achar tov asoy lemazev, v'shenire derech rocha, v'yosha, v'holchem bo yitav lachem, v'yechad v'yesh derech acheret, shuhu l'lachas achar ein yonei ho'ilam ha'bo, b'lvad. You want to go down the other path, so it's not so easy. That path is that's the path of Elam Haba. Now, the Ine.
I'm trying to think about what this word Mahamuros means. And I'm thinking it means detours.
Detours. Okay, interesting.
I don't know, but because Hamira, Lehamir, Tamura.
Rabbein Google. Hamura. Google translates. I had a second now. Go look it up right now. Google Translate will tell you what it means. V'hine, zetichilasa yireh tsar v'kashem mole yisurin. V'derech adam limois boy. It is human nature to reject the narrow path. Uvachor barishon. It's human nature to select the good path. Alkein tzivsa Torah uvacharta b'chayim. That's the deeper meaning of uvacharta b'chayim. If you read the pasuk, it's just a no-brainer. I mean, what is the pasuk telling you? Of course, it's a no-brainer. So the Alshach says, no, that's not Shan the Pasik. It requires faith, because the two different paths, the path of Chaim and the path of Maves is beautiful. It's paved. You have nice, fresh paint, yellow lines right down the middle.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Good intentions?
That's
what does that mean? good intentions.
You start off something you mean well.
You mean well, and you end okay. Uvacharta b'chayim sh'achar haderech atzar po lo v'sh'achar haderech atzar po v'loy v'rochav v'sholtoy v'asolim hazeh. After the derech that's narrow over here, v'loy b'rochav sh'altoy v'asolim hazeh v'navo el ho'inyan. Okay, I don't know what he means by that expression. Let's just don't worry about every single one. Now let's go. Vinavoli, now let's return back to our topic. Now that I've given you this basic introduction, let's return to the passage that we have just read. Here comes Vinach Gidoyla. Omar, Hinani Soches Darkech. I'm going to fence your road with thorns. Hine, Batachilo Lemari Einayich to the naked eye. So if you foolishly make a mistake, ba'omich, when you say shegidal tem, you have made a mistake. Ba'omich shegidal tem, you think that you're going to be great. You think that following after avodah zarah will bring you greatness. Ki techila hoya loch lechem amayim. V'achar kach tsemer pishtim lulbash v'achar kach ma'adani the delicacies ha'olam hazeh shemenu mashkim tovim al kein adayin adarav b'kach l'noichach therefore Hashem says just the opposite. You are now traveling down this beautiful road where you have food, clothing, luxuries, you have all of the delicacies of this world. It's wonderful. Let's continue going down this wide, open, beautiful road. Therefore, Hashem, the Navi Hoshea says, in the name of Hashem, Ki hatoivos shero'is ba'derech hamiyuchot shal yirochav yashar hit ucha. You're making a big mistake. This road is full of thorns. Lekach etein loch bosirim u'michshalois shayu luchot yisurim ro'im ki koitzim. Guess what? On this road that you continue traveling down, that's very, very wide, the end is going to be thorns. Lamanto kitzi, you'll come to detest it. V'seidin, you'll know ki morotia b'acharona, it's going to be very bitter at the end of this road. V'imloti vosri, and if you do not want to listen to my rebuke, v'soshuvi, and return to me, adaber shloi linoi cheach, I will speak not to you, if you don't want to pay attention to my musar. I'm speaking directly to you. Before, when it said l'nechech, means I'm speaking directly to you. So he's coming over here to explain why there's a change in whom you are speaking to. When the pasuk begins, I don't even pay attention to this point that he's making. When the pasuk in pasuk ches begins, it says the pasuk is speaking directly to Klal Yisrael. L'chein, therefore, hirni soch estar keich. I will fence in your path, basirim. If you do not listen to me, then my speech, I'm speaking to people who are deaf, that I'm not going to even talk to you anymore. I will address the roads. And I will tell all of the roads, listen, I'll just talk to them. And I'll tell them, just make sure these people do not reach their destination. That's part of the punishment. First, Hashem speaks directly to us. And when we choose not to listen to Hashem, so Hashem doesn't even bother speaking to us. He just acts on his own. He just brings about, he brings about the result, even without our being aware that Hashem is causing this to unfold. That's why the next part of the passage is Vigodarti Eskidera. I will fence in its fence, unisivo sechelo simtso. But in this section of the pasuk, Hashem is not speaking to us. In the first part of the pasuk, Hashem is speaking, I'm speaking to you, estar keich, your road. End of the pasuk, Hashem is just saying what he's going to do to the roads. So that's because all part of gold, we have gone down the wrong path. So three lines from the end of the Mikra Gedoyla here, he says, the Oimra, the Soshuvi, Adaber, Shaloy Lenoy Chayach. I will not speak directly to you. The Oymon says, "V'gadarti es kidera v'hu kima shahayu b'tchem yishol haya kamosh amuzal al pasik chilel mam locha v'sonecha." They have proclaimed their kings and their officers, and we turn now to page number 29. Ki b'tchem yishol haya ki haya b'neim chachamim shayu oymim lochem al tiru ki ani ashpia es sar hamayim v'yakif es yushlaim chaymos mayim. V'achirim, Oshoy Oymim, ki ani ashkienu eish, Do not believe in the false prophets. Okay, we'll finish up over here. The fence. So he's saying a big drush here. The fence that was meant to protect you. There was a fence. Hashem sends down to this world a fence of fire and water to protect Yerushalayim. It's symbolic. There's some type of supernatural fence of fire and water that was meant to protect Yerushalayim. If you misbehave and you choose not to follow in Hashem's ways, I will instruct the fence that was meant to protect you to serve as a fence to prevent you from seeking success, from achieving success. You're traveling down a road which you think is beautiful, that road will be fenced and you will never achieve the success that you desire. Which fence will be used to prevent you from achieving success? The very same fence that was created to protect you now will be being used against you. That's how he learns this pshat in the pasuk. Okay, this goes on to say exactly the same idea, a little more Kabbalistic. We'll leave it with that. That's sufficient for our discussion. Now, before we go further, I just want to point out one. Before we go to the next puzzle, I want to point out one beautiful gra. I like this gra very much. This gra really goes back to where we the gra pasuk ches. If you go back to page 24. Okay, 24. If you notice here, there are three different parts of the pasuk. This is like classic gra. Gra always likes to count. Lama nikru chachamim soifrim, because they count. They're big counters. So the gra was the ultimate counter. And he says over here in pasuk ches on page 24, who neged hirni lachen nisach, who neged shloisha mine avodah zara sheavdu Yisrael. Number one is lo asheros asher ba'aretz. The first form of avodah zara is the worship of trees. We have no clue what this means. People, they worship the Asherah, a tree. It was a symbol of idolatry. The growth.
Fruitfulness, fertility, nature.
Different. Okay. The next type of avodah zara is lashedim vilaruchois, demons, supernatural forces of tumah, asher bo avir, that are in the ear. Right in front of us, in the ear, you can pull out of the ear the shadim, the demons, and koichas of tumah, Wi-Fi, the Wi-Fi. See, it's interesting that I think we can appreciate that today. Today, in the ear, everyone is wondering, is it really healthy? What's going on? Well, the way we live, in ancient times, there was no cellular phone towers.
Really?
There was no Wi-Fi. The ear was clean. There were no radio waves in the ear. Do you know how many radio waves there are in the ear at this moment? There are how many radio stations are broadcasting? Do you know how many Wi-Fi in this room itself? Is very, very funny. I go on my phone here for a Wi-Fi signal. There's like 50 Wi-Fi signals in this room alone. That's shocking. I went to Eric to show certain place. There's zero. There's not even one signal. At least you can hide it if you want. But people don't know how they hide. You need the password. And then the cell phone towers, every single.
You got apartment buildings.
What? Yeah. So do we, is this really safe? Is this really safe to live in an existence where there's so many things in the air? But it's a very powerful Musar Haskell for us, is that the koichos of Shadim, just like we know as a fact that in the air there are signals, there is some type of communication, you just need the right device to pick it up. In ancient times, they were koiches of tumah. And the koiches of tumah are in the ear, it's invisible. And the people who were well knowledgeable in connecting to these forces were able to do things that gave them pleasure and was against Hashem's will.
Are there forces like that today?
So the Mepharshim say not. The Rambam says that it came to an end. The way, the simple approach to understand this is that these things did exist for real, but there's a principle, zeh l'umah zeh bara Elokim, that there always has to be a balance. just like there was koichos of tumah, there were koichos of kedusha, nevuah, prophecy, baskol, ruach hakodesh. And as miskatnu hadoros, as the koich of the spirituality, the holiness was diminished as time passed on, so too, in order there should be a fair balance, Hashem took away, he plugged up the forces of evil.
So it's like the laws of physics, where for every action, a reaction, every force, a counterforce.
Counterforce. So therefore, they say today that there's nothing. Today, there is an assumption that there is absolutely no power of Tumah. Anyone that comes along and says that he sees Shadim is a quack. Because these things do not, as far as we know, they do not exist anymore. Just like today, we do not have prophecy, we do not have Ruach HaKodesh, we do not have Koichos of Kedusha. But that does not mean that when you read in these books, you read about what took place 200, 300, 400, 500,000 years ago, it did exist. These things were real. These things were very, very real. It's just not in our time. Hashem gave us today a taste to prove to us that it can be real. Just like we know that there's something called various signals in the ear, which you need the right equipment to pick up. So doesn't that show it's not so far-fetched that if this is something which we appreciate, we know as a fact it does exist, so why should it be any less to believe that there is in the ear something supernatural, Kedusha of Ruach HaKodesh and Zelu Mazeh, Koiches of Tumah. It's Hashem is giving this to us as a way to awaken us. We should not. We live in a very difficult time. Look at the principle: Ayin roye ve'oizen shamas v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtavim. Correct. V'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtavim. So today we know what that means.
Oh, for sure.
We know. I mean, you can't walk Dalet Amos. So these are all things that Hashem has given us.
Do they exist or they don't exist? Do they exist and we don't have access to them, or they don't exist?
And they don't exist, period, anymore.
Same thing with Kishuv. There may have been such a body of knowledge which was considered advanced or scientific in its day, and it's lost. That's all.
Okay, now let's see. And then he goes on to the third of the Zohar. V'hinei neged koichavim shebashamayim mimal omar soch. Then there's a third form of Avodah Zarah, and that is the worship of the stars and the moon. So Sach HaKol, he's telling us here, the gross language is a very, very, very powerful Yisoy. It's something to think about, to remember, is all Avodah Zarah fits into three categories. There's the worship of the earth, which is captured in the Avodah Zarah of Asherah, trees that grow out of the ground.
Nature.
There is nature. Then there is the worship of the air. We're in front of us. The air. What does it mean, the air? The koichos of Tumah, Shadim, Ruchos, spirits and Shadim. And then there is the third Avodah Zarah, which is the worship of the celestial bodies, the Shemayim V'aretz, the constellations, the Shemayim V'aretz. All Avodah Zarah fits into one of these categories. It's a very nice Yisoid. And therefore he's saying that's Shan the Pasuk. The Pasuk starts off by saying, Amar Soch, Hainu Schoch. Soch, interchange the Samach, the Sim with the Samach, which means Schach, Hainu Schoch, Mavdil Beinam Lebein HaKoychavim. So Hashem is, by putting up schach, a roof, Hashem is preventing us from succeeding in extracting benefit from the mazalos. A person is born with a mazal, which means he has a certain disposition to be successful. But because you put your faith in that success that was meant to be for you, a person is born with a certain, we see people are successful just naturally. People have natural talent. It's a mazal. But a person has to recognize that this mazel comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person says, no, there's no Ribbono Shel Olam, and the only thing that brings success is my mazel. So Hashem says, if that's how you want to look at it, if that's your attitude, I'm going to prevent you from the benefit that was meant to be to you naturally, I'm going to deny from you. You have a natural talent, and you're saying your success is only because of that talent that you've been given as a gift, and you don't want to even acknowledge that Hashem is the one who gave it to you, then you know what? I will not even let you benefit from the natural talent that you have. I'm going to put a mechitza shel barzel in heaven to separate you from the koychavim and the mazolos, which represent your natural blessing. V'neged hashedim sheba avir misaviv l'adam amar v'godarti es gidera. I'm going to put up a fence in the air. I'm going to block. I'm not going to give you the password to have access to Wi-Fi. Block the signals. I'm going to block the signals. I'm going to have some jam.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the gedera. V'neged asherah, the earth asher ba'aretz amar unesiva secha ba'aretz lo sinsa, the paths on the earth. On the earth, the asherah is going to be denied from you. It's amazing. The Gra, he breaks open the pasuk into explaining to us all different types of avodah zarah, and he shows you here in one pasuk, Hashem says, "This is your way you want to behave. That's how you want to behave. I'm going to prevent you from achieving success in any one of these three ways: asherah, the shadim, ruchos, and the kochavim. And each expression here corresponds to one of these ideas." Okay, let's see Chaim Chazal. Okay, Chaim Chazal on the bottom, Pasuk Ches. Okay, this is an interesting idea. This, I don't know what scientists against the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah. I don't know what the scientists say about this. Okay, it says over here, L'chein ani sach es, like, I'm going to fence in your road. So the Gemara here talks about the time of the Bayis Sheni when they would send signals to tell people if Rosh Chodesh was one day or Rosh Chodesh was 2 days. You have to know when is the day to observe Yom Tov, when is Pesach, when is Sukkot. So what do? They send a bezel with Mekadosh to Chodesh, and they lit torches, and people would see the torch at a distance, and they would
relay.
And this went on, they relayed it multiple times. So where were the locations? Where were the centers where they lit these massive torches so people can go relay the message that today is Rosh Chodesh? So here we go. Number one is Mehar Hamishcha Lisar Tiva. Umisar Tiva Lig Roifina. Umigroifina Lichavra and Michavan Leves Bilto and Amar Biochnan Ben Kolachas Vyakas Shmoinda Parsos. The distance between each one of these locations was 8. 8 parsois. So what is 8 parsois? A parsa is, yeah, it's too complicated for me to go through all the calculations, I don't know. Kama hayu, how many parasols there in total? With 8 times 4 is 32. Sacha, how much? Tulasin with Tartain, 32. Okay, 32 parasols. There are 4 different locations, so therefore the total gap is going to be 32 parasols. Frek the Gemara, a scientific problem. The Hoho Idna, what are you talking about? You're telling me that the distance to the last location over here in the list, we know where it is only 8 parasols. That's not so. Go online, go to Google Maps, and you will see that it's a lot more than 8, it's a lot more than 32 parsos. It's much, much more. So how could the Chazal say something which is not scientifically correct? The Gemara answers, Amar Abaya, istatume istatum luhu darke. Now what do those words mean, istatume? It means they were closed up. Now what does that mean, closed up? So here in the Perush, whoever wrote this, whoever put this over here, he wrote his own translation of these words. Hayom nech simu hadarachim hayisharos. There are different types of paths. There are short paths and there are long paths. The short paths, there are shortcuts. All of the shortcuts have been denied. Nech simu means sosum. Like, what does choshech mean? Choshech means to be withheld. Yoitzer or uvoirei choshech. Did Hashem create darkness? Which one is a greater creation? Or choshech? V'ayoyim elokim hi or. There is only or. Choshech means to withhold. Darkness does not exist. Darkness is a creation of Hashem that where it blocks the signal, it blocks the light. Yoitzer or, Hashem forms or, uvoirei, he creates Choshech is choshach. Choshech means to withhold, the withholding of light. Here, same exact word. He says over here, nechsim means to withhold. It doesn't say the chof, but the cho. It's not the same word. It's statume. Okay, it's not really the same word. I take that back. But it's, the idea is correct. Hayom nechsimu hadrochim hayisharoyt shebein hamukhemos alalu. That says, lochein nisach es darkech ba'asirim. I'm going to fence your rows with thorns. Unbelievable Gemara. The Gemara is telling us in Rosh Hashanah that in the time of Chazal, when you wanted to travel from one end of the land to a different end of the land, there were different roads. There were shortcuts, there were short ways to go, and there were long ways to go. And we don't know what this means. But today, the only way to get to these locations, it takes a very, very long time. There's a very, very long journey, a lot longer than the distance that's presented in the Gemara. And why is that so? Because due to our sins, Hashem has brought about a reality in this world that the shortcuts have been cut. The shortcuts have been fenced off. We're not able to travel on these shortcuts. We don't even know about the shortcuts. And the only way we can get to the destination is through a long route. Now, what does that have to do with light? Light, you're not actually traveling. Light, or whatever it is. I don't know, it is what it is. But it's just a concept which obviously requires a lot of understanding. Whether it's to be taken literally, or it's more of a metaphor, it's more of a divrei agada, it's based upon the pasuk that we have just learned. Hinani soch es darkech. In life, there are shortcuts. Now, we all are brought up, Baruch Hashem, with the principle there are no shortcuts in life. There are no shortcuts to success. If you want to succeed, you must work very, very, very hard. That's true, absolutely. But there is something in this world called a shortcut. I mean, there is such a thing, is that if you know what you're doing, after you work very, very hard, you know what you're doing. You know it. If you go into the country, you know there are different ways to go to the country. You can go the long way, you can go the short way. If you know all of the inner roads, you know all the secrets, you'll be able to get there half an hour less time than it would take someone else. That's legit. That's not connivory. We're brought up with things. Shortcuts means you cut all corners, you cheat, you don't pay your taxes, you don't go to school, you don't do this, you don't do that. Unfortunately, the term shortcuts and the long way is used in a negative way in our language, in our vocabulary. But if you want to focus on the real language, there are things in life, both in the spiritual world and in the physical world, as shortcuts. You have to know the shortcuts. How do you know the shortcuts? You have to have a good teacher. Or you yourself have to go through a lot of life experience in order to learn hard work, in order to learn what the shortcuts are. And the point over here is, that Kadosh Baruch Hu says, part of the curse of Galus is there are no shortcuts. You'll never, to reach, life is hard. Life is hard. Even though things which are legitimate shortcuts to achieve ruchnius, to achieve gashmius, which are legit, are denied from you. The only way you're ever going to reach your destination is going on the long road based upon the pasuk that we have just read. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Let's not dwell, try not to dwell too much on any one thing because we'll never get anywhere. Let's go to pasuk Yud. Exactly. So Hashem is saying that because of your sins, it's been shut down. Soch es darkech basirim. The shortcuts in life that you would be entitled to have been denied from you because of your sins. Hinani soch es darkech. Life is hard. Ruchnius is hard. Gashmius is hard. It was not meant to be like this. It was not meant to be so difficult. It was meant to be a lot easier. Why do we have to go on such a long, circuitous route? It's because of our sins. Pasuk Yud. V'hu lo yada. V'hi lo yada. She. Klal Yisrael. They don't even realize. Ki anochi nesati lo hadagon v'hatirosh ha'yitzar. It was I. Back in the good old days, they thought, where did my blessing come from? They thought, we worship the moon, mazel, it's mazel. Or it's, we worship the moon, we pay tribute, we pay homage to the sun, the moon, the stars, the demons, the Asherah. We don't take any chances. We don't take any chance, therefore we cover all ground. We daven a good long Shemona Esrei. We daven a good long Shemona Esrei. And then we go out to the backyard and we worship the Asherah. And we say hello to the demons in the ear. And then we go and we buy a star on the radio. It's all those commercials. It's all those commercials. You can buy a star for someone. The star by now, they're all sold out. No? All the stars. So just sell them again. Who knows the difference anyway? There's a registry. You really believe there's a registry of stars?
It's a phony deal. I mean, it's not really true.
There's a registry of stars.
Yeah, but they said and that it's not... They had,
it's a fraud.
The report said it's fraud. Yeah.
It's fraud. Outright fraud.
They have a piece of sand.
We'll sell you a piece of sand.
I'll put a name on it.
We'll sell you. Just send in the money. Just give us your credit card and you're all set. You're all set. We'll give you. Go ask NASA if they recognize the registry.
Might be in the computer. What's the difference?
Whose computer? My computer. Whose
computer? Registry's computer.
What?
The registry's computer.
Right, exactly. And the rest of the world? The rest of the world couldn't care less. The rest of the world, they'll just laugh at the hair off at you. Like you're selling the Brooklyn Bridge. Yeah.
According to the Chazon Ish, is 4.6 meters.
4.0 no, much more meters.
I know, that's what I don't understand. That's what it says here. I have it from the...
No, okay, but impossible.
Parsa.
Maybe 4,000, 400.
So
she
said it was like 3/4
of a mil. That's a mil. A parsa is how many mil?
4 mil.
Well,
it says 4 mil.
It's 4 mil. And four mil divide four mil. So it's 3/4. It's 3/4. That's 3 miles. 4 mil is about 3 miles. So 3 miles, three miles multiplied by 4 is 12 miles. Correct. So here it's saying that the distance between these extreme locations that they used to make torches in order to go and to tell them when Rosh Chodesh was 12 miles. Problem on Google Maps, it's 50 miles. It's not 12 miles. So what are you talking about, 12 miles? So the Gemara says, the shortcuts have been sealed. It used to be 12 miles, trust me. It's because today, Klal Yisrael, we have abandoned Hashem, therefore, that's why it's a much longer path to reach that destination. What does that mean? Physics are physics. What does that mean exactly? So obviously, we don't know what this means. Either it means there's something physical that we just don't know what the science is all about, or it means to be interpreted in Divrei Haggadah. It means in the spiritual world. Life used to be easy. You're able to make parnasa. It wasn't such a big deal. You make a parnasa, you get a job, make parnasa, you work a couple of hours, you're done, you work. You start 10 o'clock, you finish by 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and the rest of the day, you do whatever you want to do. You have a good time. Today, no such thing anymore. Today you work 24/7. I mean, today, every job I know who works. I mean, there's no day, there's no night. You work day and night. You have your smartphone and you're on call 24/7. That's the way we live today. That's a whole new world. Was it really meant to be like this? Is it really meant to be so difficult? It wasn't meant to be like this. It's because of our sin that the Shmurach has denied us the shortcuts. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yud. So here, during the good old days, you didn't know this was I that gave you. I gave you all the benefit. It was I that gave you the jug and the grain, the tirosh, the wine, the yitzah, the oil, the chesef, and the silver. I gave her an abundance of silver. The zahav, and what did they do with the gold? Asu la baal. They dedicated the gold to the avod zar called baal. Now, by the way, where does baal refer to in this spectrum? The Gros says all avod zar falls into one of three categories: Asherah, the demons, and the shemayim. So, what's baal? I don't know. Is baal is probably the most famous avod zar of them all.
Baal is probably the earth.
It's in the Tanakh.
The earth?
It's probably the earth. Yeah, it's not a.
It's the Asherah. It's part. It's nichlal in the Asherah type of avodah zarah.
You see a lot of fertility symbols and things associated with it.
All right, whatever. I don't know. Yeah, maybe we'll come across. Maybe we'll grow. He'll tell us over here. I don't really pay attention.
All right.
Pay attention. The baal.
Seemingly,
like ceramics made out of earth.
What?
Ceramics.
What is the avodah zarah baal? We always talk about baal. Baal. Im la Hashem l'chuachav. Im la baal l'chuachav. Lama ata pasech al shnei hasifim Eliyo b'har Karmel was the ultimate critic, the ultimate one to take down the Baal. And his words were im labal, luchlachrav, im lashem, luchlachrav.
Because the door doesn't open.
Still go.
Both doors are locked.
No,
the front door is locked every day at 10 o'clock. The front door every day is locked at 10 o'clock, no matter what. The back door, there's no senior center center today. Okay, weiter. Let's go weiter. Let's go see the Mitzudos. Pasik Yud in the Mitzudos David. Vehi lo yada'ah. Vehi lo yada'a mitchila lo yisam alibo lo das asher anihu ha-noifim lo ha-dagon ha-kol nimeni ki ein davar b'yad ma'arechas ha-shamayim. They did not pay attention to recognize that it's Arai Hashem who gives them all of their food. V'chesef hineh ha-kesef ha-zav asher anihu ha-hibesi lo asu heim labol. V'hu tzura. What is the balance? It says here it's a tzura. U'mo asu litzva ha-shamayim. So he says, he answered my question. The Baal is an object that is symbolic of the heavens, the Koychavim and the Mazolas. That's what he seems to say. At least the Mitsudo says that that's what the Baal is. It's a physical manifestation, a representation of objects in Shamayim. Fine. Let's see what it says over here in the Rashi. Rashi Pasuk says, lo yoda, lo soma eliba. What is in the yada to pay attention? This week's parsha. In this week's parsha, it says, "Vayishma l'kim es nakosam, vayar l'kim." What is Rabbi Mariavsky? Nakosam. Hashem saw vayeda Elohim. The end of the pasuk is vayeda, vayar and vayeda. What's vayeda? Over here, the Mitzudo says, "Som el libo," to pay attention. You can see something, but you totally ignore it. That's what we do the whole day. You see something, next, go online. This headline, this one was killed, this one tragedy, this tragedy, next, just move the finger, right? There's no sum aliba. How can you scroll down after seeing a headline of a tragedy? We should break down, fall apart. See, the worst thing happens, next, what else is new? It's amazing how desensitized we are because of information overload.
It happens so often.
There are many reasons. All things come together. So we see a lot, but what do we pay attention to? Almost nothing. And that's what it says over here. It says, "V'hi lo yada'ah." The Jewish people did not pay attention. They did not sum el libo. The Mitzudah says. Rashi says. Rashi pasagil sum el libo. The her os es atzma. She made believe. She appeared ki'i kilo yodas as if she did not recognize the emes that the support the parnasa comes from Hashem. Mechesiv rebesi la v'zav v'heim asu'u labal. I gave them wealth, and what did they do with their wealth? Instead of using it for the service of Hashem, they use their wealth to worship gods. They use their wealth to worship the Baal. The Baal is, as we said, is a symbol of things in Shemayim. Let's take a look at the Maimon Chazal. Maybe we'll conclude that one.
Can you just take a look at the Ibn Ezra?
Okay.
Where it says, Labal.
Hatsarfim asu tsuros mizav kesef liapos habal uvisforad hayuchacham beforesh habal. Oh, great. Bal habayis hatsoymeach.
In other words, Baal, they would plant the one who is in control, right?
The Baal Habayis.
The Baal Habayis, Hasomet, the one who controls fruitfulness, fertility, prosperity, in other words, the Chochmas HaMazalos. Somehow that control comes from the Mazalos. This is according to a Spanish scholar he heard it from.
Bal habayis hatsoymeach b'chochmas, the power of what blossoms b'chochmas hamazolos ki kein yikru botim limazolos. A bayis was made for mazolos v'lohem heim oivdim ki heim tzvo hashamayim. All right, interesting, but that's it just
combines the two.
But it represents the same idea. It represents the Tzvo HaShemayim
and the heavenly body.
It's the Tzvo HaShemayim. It fits into that category. Okay, let's conclude. Just one Maimer Chazal. Okay, and then we'll have to start out of time. One Maim Chazal, maybe we'll do more next time, maybe not, but if, let's look on the bottom, page 29. On the bottom, the Chesef Herbesi Lo Vizahov Asu La Boal. Vidi Zahav. In Devar, Moshe Rabbeinu, he says to Hashem, don't blame the Jewish people for worshipping the eagle. It's your fault. Can you imagine such a defense? Come to the judge and say, judge, don't blame this fellow for what he did. Judge, it's your fault. You can imagine. What? Okay, but he's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, fine. So it's not his fault. Vidi Zahav. My Vidi Zahav. Omrei Debei Rabbi Yana. Kach Om HaMoshe Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribbono Shel Olam B'Shvil. Kesev Vizahav Shehishpata Lohem Li Yisrael. The wealth that you've given to them. Ad She'amu. Until they said, die. They said, Ad She'yivlu Sif Sasechem Miloy Mar Dai. Dayenu. Dayenu. What do you say, Dayenu? You say Dayenu on Pesach. The nigga Dayenu. It's Dayenu. It means if you would have done this for us, we our lips would have worn out by thanking you just for this. At sheyivlu sif sechem miloy mar dai. That's Dayenu. And Hashem gave us even more. And He gave us even more and even more. So that's what comes from this pasuk. V'di zahav. Di is dai. Dizahav, Amar, who garm shaasu es ha'egel. That's they're guilty. That's a defense that's off the charts. Like you just said, is that would never fly in any court of law to say the reason why he's guilty is because of society. Because so don't blame him. Society gives you. That's right. You're right. A liberal judge would say that exactly. But you're not responsible. Yeah. It goes against the whole nature of Yadus. In Yadus, the whole nature is you take responsibility for yourself. That's a major theme in Yadus. You're responsible for your actions. The goyim, Amalek. There's a beautiful word. Amalek when Agag was taken out to be killed by Shmuel. Shaul failed to kill Agag, and Shmuel, he lost his malchus. That was one of the reasons why he lost his malchus. There are a combination of reasons why he lost his malchus. That was one of them. He was instructed to kill the men, women, and children, and the king, and he did not kill Agag. So Shmuel comes the next day, and he comes to kill Agag. It says when Agag came, and he came out bima adonis. It's in the Haftorah on Parashat Zohar. He came out bima adonis. What does it mean bima adonis? In chains. He came out, they took him out to execution while he was shackled in chains. So the Darshanim, I once actually heard this, one of the few, I never saw of Yitzhak Kutner, I live in Chaim Berlin, he was before my time. So once I picked up a CD, they had a CD lying around of one of his Maimarim, and this was, I think it's like one of the only Maimarim I ever heard on CD from him, another two or three, and he was talking about this. It was really powerful. I really understood a lot about his whole nature from listening to this Maimon. And what does it mean he came out Bima Adonis? He came forward with a defense. When Shmuel came to execute Agag says, you can't execute me, you have to put me on trial. You don't just kill someone. There has to be a tribunal. There has to be some trial. Okay, fine, I agree. What is your defense? My defense is Ma'adonis. I'm forced to do this. When I'm forced, I'm a product of society. I'm a mukhrach. I have a Yetzahara. A person has a Yetzahara. He has a fire burning in him. Do averos, to steal, to do the gili arayos, shrichas damim. What do you expect of man? You expect man to overcome his taiva? To overcome his Yetzirah, not be a Shefech Dom, not to be Gilead Arias. He came forward to his execution in shackled in chains. The deeper meaning is he came forward with a defense that I'm not responsible for my actions because a human being, the fact that he has the Yetzirah has chained him, has shackled him into a way of life that he cannot get out of. That's a very powerful defense. And I mean, to some degree, it makes sense, right?
Acceptable defense.
So Shmuel says, no, it's not. It's not an acceptable defense. If Hashem put you into this world, it means Hashem has given you the power to overcome your Yetzirah. And that is exactly the Nitzachon of Klal Yisrael over Amalek. The Malchus of Amalek is we're shackled. Klal Yisrael is saying you're not shackled. You have Bechira Chavshis. Recognize that to be the case. Therefore, you are responsible for your actions and you will be punished. This is the Machlokes, Klal Yisrael and Amalek. And unfortunately, Amalek exists at Hayom HaZeh, Zechor, Eis, HaShos, until the coming of the time, until we can finally wipe out, prove to the world, you're not forced to do Averos. You have to search deep down within you and find the moral courage to overcome your Yetzirah. So what's so shocking is that Moshe Rabbeinu basically, on a very simplistic level, is presenting to Hashem for the Egel HaZov, the defense of Agag. Hashem, don't blame them. Don't blame them. It's your fault. What do you expect? You go and you give a child a lollipop, an ice cream cone. He's not going to eat it. What do you expect? You gave them all of this gold, so that's why they got Vayishmun Yishun Vayivat. That was it. So how do you reconcile this? How do you reconcile the Melcham of Klayush and Amalek verse with Moshe? It's very, very shocking. And Hashem, did Hashem accept it? I don't know. To some degree, I guess, yes. Hashem forgave. It's always an ongoing kapara, ongoing problem. But it comes over here, Vizav Oslabol, it comes over here, partially from this pasuk. You see the same idea. The gold they received, and they had too much gold, too much luxury leads to sin. We're going to stop over here. Mishal Pinina and Yud Aleph on Monday, Yirtzeh Hashem.